Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Well, here we go, boys and girls. It's Terrible Tommy back in the bunker again, right next door to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse. Yeah, where we do a lot of singing over there. A lot of dancing, a lot of drinking, a lot of steak eating. Yeah. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. All day long, all night long, 24 hours a day. You can send your donations for the radio show. And for other projects that we like to work on, and for deserving POWs that are wasting away in prison, hoping that somebody's out here that gives a damn about them. And don't ever forget our big website, resist.com. If you run into any problems that I can't handle for you, well, you get in touch with merchandiseresist@yahoo.com. And she'll straighten it out, or throw the ball back to me and I'll straighten it out, or somebody will straighten it out. Yeah, I just sent a $25 money order off to David Tate today. I'm going to start using $25 money orders so more guys get a little bit than one guy getting a lot. You know, I think that works out the best. He must talk to guys down there at that new prison where he's at, because I've gotten two or three letters from other prisoners that are down there in that same prison. So the word gets around, and I'm sending these magazines out that I got that deal on through one of the cheapo subscriptions. So I figure, I don't know what, you know, I'm not sure what kind of magazines they get in there, but they probably... When I was in jail for a while, 40-some days up in L.A. County, they come around with a cart, and they got a stack of magazines on there and stuff like that. And you can choose what you want, but, you know, the problem there is they don't have multiples of certain magazines, and if they start at one end of the tier, and all the good magazines are gone by the time they get to you. So I think if you subscribe to magazines that... it'd be good to send them into the POWs. But cut the address off, you know, the address, your address off. Just cut that part of it out of the front page. no use them knowing everything, even though they do, and send them off that way. So, anyhow, you know, yesterday I was talking about, and I sent out some stuff about this, all this machinery that the government's passing out to police departments all over the country, Homeland Security and all that, and all these guys coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and becoming cops and guards and FBI guys and you name it. Well, I don't think I'm really dense, but I just happened to come up with the idea, say, wait a minute. If they're handing 600 and some thousand dollar vehicles out to local police departments and then training these guys to use them, or guys who have been in the military and know how to use them, this is not just for show, and it's not just for crime. What they're doing is slowly moving heavy equipment all over the country to all these police departments and fire departments and every place else, and they know where it's all at. So it's like a big motor pool. They're setting everything up for when, if you decide you're pissed off and rise up, they'll have the guys right there in your area, trained, ready to go. That's what they're doing. And that's, you know, they're stockpiling ammo and everything else. What for? This phony terrorist war. You know, they don't say what the war is against. They say it's terrorism. And anything they decide is terrorism is terrorism. So here you got these guys coming back. Now, some of them are going to end up on our side, and some of them are going to end up on the other side. If you know any guys that got their mind right that are coming back from overseas, tell them to get involved in this stuff, but keep their mouth shut. And they can easily do it on the local level where they have access to major armored equipment. And maybe they might want to drive it someday. But then there's the other kind of guys, these red, white, and blue guys, that they're going to be with the system all the way. And we're against you guys because you're unwashed, you're just not fit for anything. You guys, you racist, you Nazis, you KKKers, all you people like you. We'll take you out in no time because we're trained to do it. Because we're going to salute that federal flag right down the line. Well, those guys, they'll just have to be taken out. There's no other way. Either you take them out or they take you out. But it's going to have to be those kind of people fire the first shots. That's what I think. That's why I say lone wolf, lone wolf. Sail at periscope level. Keep your mouth shut. But some of you, like me, you can be known in the community if you're cool about it. A lone wolf doesn't have to be that lone. We need a lot of ghost wolves out there that are just listening, watching, waiting. But a lot of us, you know, especially if people around know what you basically think anyhow, you might as well do some talking. You might as well do some walking. You might as well be handing out some stuff or just exchanging ideas. Lone wolf covers a lot of territory. Lots and lots of territory. But that's what they're up to, boys. They're using this excuse to get great armored vehicles and weaponry and all that into the hands of locals ahead of time. So it'll all be in place when they need it. When they need for these guys, the local yokels, the ones that are going to come down on the other side, to jump in those vehicles and ride down the street to your house. That's what it's all about. That's what this Homeland Security is all about. Now, if you watch Russia TV, RT TV, stuff like that, I mean, they're pretty straight. They're the straightest of them all, as far as I'm, you know, as far as a major news source. And all the experts are saying this system's going to end up in a civil war or something. It's not going to last, and it may not last too much longer, because I was hearing some people talking about 18 months. I don't mean false flag right-wingers either. I mean professionals that were saying they didn't see why there wasn't going to be something major happen within the next 18 months. Well, I don't know, because I'm not Alex. I'm not like an Alex Curtis. No, I'm not one of these guys that's got a perfect crystal ball and I know everything and like that. But so anyhow, I sit there and I figured that out. You guys probably figured it out long before I did. It's just a method of dispersing heavy ordnance all over the country to the local people they think they can trust to be ready for an uprising. And then they're right there. What do you think? I think that's what it's all about. Why would they want to give a $600,000 vehicle to Podunk Town like the one I sent you out yesterday? I mean, you know, to go after Harry who's making meth or some guy that's got a pot factory or something? I mean, come on. Even a guy, some guy's beating his wife, you got to have a $600,000 bulletproof impregnable vehicles to go out to the house. They're not shitting me, and I hope they're not shitting you. Yeah, for now, a lone wolf's job is very simple. You're in the eyes and ears. That's it. You don't have to do much else except, you know, keep yourself up on the latest. Well, you're going to be listening. You're going to be watching. You're going to be hearing. You know, the best weapon against the opposition is your ears and your eyes. Even better than electronic eavesdropping is just your ears and your eyes. So, you know, you're a small town or you're in a neighborhood or you got a pretty tight bunch of people. You drink with them. Have a few beers now and then. Some of you go to church with them. You get involved in the school activities. And you run into these people and they talk. Oh, how they talk. I remember over in Germany, the word on the street was the first telephone book that came off the press for USARA. That was the command I was under there in West Germany. The first telephone book that came off the press that somebody could get to an East German spy, and they were everywhere, was worth $50 or $100 or something like that. After that, it wasn't worth much at all. So anyhow, you just need to make a mental note of where all this stuff's at. Yeah, that's simple, isn't it? You know, they got regional warehouses, too, where all these dum-dum bullets are saving to put a hole in you. Need to know where all that stuff's at. Yeah. Don't do anything. You don't need to do a damn thing. That part of the equation is not upon us yet. Hopefully it never is upon us. But I think it's coming. And so every small town, every neighborhood with a tight situation, lone wolves, ghost wolves have to be watching, looking, making a notation. Let them do the talking, because they love to talk. Some of you guys may have cops that are friends. Yeah, there's a lot of cops that are pretty nice guys. They're not all together in our camp, though. Most of them. But they talk, and if you're having lunch with them, going to the lodge with them, go and have a couple of beers with them, listen, and make mental notes of everything. That's right, and that all will be fed into one big bucket for future use. See, what pisses the ADL off, and the SPLC and all these guys, and even the FBI You're not committing any crime. You're not bombing anybody. You're not shooting anybody. No, that's not your job. That's what they do. Yeah. No, that's not your job. So it sort of causes them a lot of problems because they know you're out here thinking. And they know you're out here maybe planning, but you don't write it down. It's in your mind, baby. You're reading and making notes into your brain, you know. So that's something that's hard for them to fight. The only way they can try to fight is to try to get you to do something stupid like the right wing keeps allowing to happen. These right wing racial groups, they talk all about the enemy, and we got to do something, got to do something. So, you know, these guys get all excited and go out and do something crazy that does not further the cause at all. Well, it does further their cause, the SPLC and the ADL and all that. Well, why do you think that the SPLC don't want to talk about Tom Metzger? Hardly ever. Well, part of it's because I never gave up, and I never gave in, and I kept going. But the other part of it is they don't want you guys listening to what I'm saying. They know it makes too much sense. I was listening to Ralph Nader last night. Ralph's doing a pretty good job. When I was a conservative, back in the old days, I used to hate him because I was told to hate him. Ralph Nader, he's probably a communist. Well, looking back on it, in most situations I was wrong because he was trying to save people from getting their burned alive in their little cars and stuff like that, like he did with the Pinto. They're being hit in the back and exploding, and people were dying. And, of course, the corporations through the right wing sold us a bill of goods. Oh, he's a communist, you know. He's horrible. He's trying to kill American business, you know, all that kind of stuff. Did you know the National Defense Authorization Bill is on the floor right now? There isn't one person in 100,000 that knows that. And that's half of your budget. Half your budget. And you know how many amendments they've got onto it? 250 amendments. See, they should never allow amendments onto a bill, as far as I'm concerned. Because every pork barrel, every idiot in the world gets an amendment on there. And because everybody says, oh, it's for the defense of the country against those Islamic people and all that kind of stuff. Or the Chinese are coming, you know. Well, we got to have it. We got to spend more money. Besides, it puts people to work. Yeah, even though that's our only major, really heavy industry in this country anymore is armaments. But yet this country claims it's such a Christian nation. I don't understand how that works. Do you? Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit about this defense authorization bill.
Do anything with this guy, the insiders.
They are not doing.
Do anything with this guy, the insiders.
They are not doing.
National Defense Authorization Act is on the floor. And that means that this is the bill that sets the policy for the Defense Department for the coming year. This bill is one of the biggest must-pass in Congress. It's one of the biggest things Congress does every year. It sets policy for an agency that takes up the budget of about half our government. And so it is... An amazing amount of policy is put forward each year in this bill. And an amazing amount of amendments come to the floor when this bill comes to the floor. More than 250 amendments have been filed with the House Rules Committee. Now, let me just explain to you guys something. in this House, just so we can go over legislative procedure for a moment, for those of you who don't understand. In the Senate, stuff is decided by committee, not comedy, committee, C-O-M-I-T-Y. Committee, meaning it's kind of by agreement between the majority leader, minority leader, and when it breaks down, nothing moves, right? In this House, the Rules Committee sets the tone on the floor. The Rules Committee, the House floor is controlled by what is known as privilege. And the Rules Committee and the Speaker dictate privilege. And the Rules Committee is a committee where the majority holds a tremendous ratio. And this, it basically is a committee that the Speaker operates at its whim, meaning he appoints people who will do what he says, because he needs to control. He needs to control the floor. And the Rules Committee is what does that. So the Rules Committee will review all these amendments with the Speaker's office and decide what to come to the floor. Now, one amendment out of the 250 submitted to the Defense Authorization Act, one that is likely to come to the floor, I'm told, by colleagues on Capitol, is incredibly dangerous. You are going to be shocked at this amendment. It is offered by Representative Duncan Hunter of California.
Oh, no.
Let me read you this amendment, and then it is titled Authorization for the Use of Force Against Those Responsible for the Attack Against United States Personnel in Benghazi, Libya. And after the findings, it says, the president is authorized to use all necessary and appropriate force against those organizations or person the president determines planned, authorized, or committed attacks against the United States facility in Benghazi, Libya, that occurred September 11th, September 12th, 2012, in order to prevent any future acts of international terrorism against the United States by such organizations or persons. Let me go over that again. Now, well, what's wrong with that, authorizing the president? This is essentially, authorization for the use of military force under the War Powers Act. This is the modern equivalent of a declaration of war over Benghazi. Can we talk about how dangerous and stupid this is for a second? First off, why are we declaring war against non-state entities? It's just strange to me. I know we've done it in our history going back to the Barbary Pirates. But it's very strange to me that it makes sense to declare war on unknown entities. At least in the case of the Barbary Pirates, we knew exactly who we were declaring war on. This is a cinch. Second, it's unnecessary. Right? The president, under the War Powers Act, can send troops anywhere he wants in the world for up to 60 days and then 30 days extension. The president has that right, has that authority to send troops anywhere in the world he pleases. Right? So he doesn't need a declaration of force to go after these guys. What is this? Well, look, Fox News has furnished the pictures. And Representative Duncan Hunter wants to furnish the war. This is dangerous. This is so dangerous. It's if any Democrat, if this amendment comes to the floor and any Democrat votes for it, they are playing with fire. And this is the problem is this is likely one of those things that will pass by voice votes because nobody wants to deal with it. But it could be used as the pretext, because of its open-ended nature, for a ridiculous amount of military action. Now, look, no serious legislator would flippantly bring such a expansive bill to the floor without so much as a congressional hearing. But John Boehner, he's going on a different path right now. And this is just more evidence of that. He's decided that what's important is not what's good for the country. But this is another example of him kowtowing to the giving a gift to the Tea Party wing of his caucus in the vain hope they will let him keep his gavel after the 2014 elections. Think about that. John Boehner is allowing this bill, this amendment, to come to the floor. He is allowing our country to take the most solemn and sacred step, declaring war. And look, I'm not a pacifist, but I do believe that when you do declare war, it is the most, as a member of Congress, when you authorize the president to use military force, and I recognize this is a declaration of war, but it's become the equivalent of that. When you authorize this, you are authorizing our men and women to be put at risk. This should be the most serious vote that is taken. There is no more vote. There is no vote a member of Congress takes that is more important than this. And it is being trivialized here by Duncan Hunter. Why? Well, pure politics. Pure politics, 100%. And that's so, I am so disgusted by this. I am fearful of this. The fact that willy-nilly, with no hearing in the Foreign Affairs Committee, with no discussion about what this means, with no thought to its drafting, Congress will seek to commit to the idea that our troops should go to war. It honestly makes me physically ill. It honestly makes me physically sick. This is politics. This is the worst kind of politics, plain and simple. This is the worst Congress has to offer. And look, you can draw a direct line from Fox News' efforts over the past 21 months to feed its audience lies about the attack, to riling up to believe this is the greatest foreign policy crisis in our history. It's no shock that a representative like Duncan Hunter, struggling for relevancy, senses the opportunity to legislatively demagogue this issue. Why? Well,
sorry to keep you waiting.
Chief Inspector Allenby, isn't it?
And you're Dr. Roberts.
Good news, sir.
Thank you.
I see you have been exploring my work.
Theodore Roberts,
yes. Bit over my head, I'm afraid.
Froelich's synergenic parallels conclusively prove Napoleon's dystrophia adiposo genitalis. Sounds rather painful.
It's a matter of power, impulse, and source. I need hardly tell you of its connection with sex. See, there's an acute conflict between the survival of the fittest, nature's law as defined by Darwin, and the human tendency to preserve the weak. Genius and the arts, and an excessive power impulse, are both in a sense deviants from the normal. The extremes of both being madness. Is the transmission of their genes beneficial to the human future? Quite.
That was an interesting comment. Nature promotes survival of the fittest. Upbreeding and the whole bit. But the human race wants to dwell in saving the weak. And that's where our long-time argument comes from. The people who believe that we should strive for perfection and strength, such as in science and all that. And then the people want to spend all their time worrying about saving the weak to the point where we have 7 or 8 billion people now on planet Earth. Mother Nature's going to win, I'll tell you that. I don't care how many plans they make to save the weak. You're not going to save the weak. Remember that. And anyone who tries is a fool. Some people give their whole lives saving the weak when it's not possible overall. Remember, when dictatorship is a fact, revolution is a duty.
Like liberals, because they lose. If liberals are so smart, how come they lose their goddamn always?
Hey,
and with a straight you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And you got you, sorority girl. Just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. One of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst generation ever. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite?
Did you ever read the Bible? Well, I have, way back, parts of it and so forth. Do you ever realize how much rotten crap is in that thing? Stuff that shouldn't be even allowed on a newsstand? And once in a while, people take a little bit of it and read it. And here's a little bit that might get your attention of what your loving God wants for you.
From Leviticus 26, verses 21 through 30. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your high ways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. Woo! Enough! Oh, my God! Now, I didn't know that that the Hebrew God threatened cannibalism, forced cannibalism on people who didn't want to... Man, that's some crazy stuff, Jack. Woo! You shall eat your sons and eat your daughters. All right, we need a cleansing.
Let me read to you from this particular writing from Nature Bats Last. When you're dead, you don't know you're dead. People around you feel it, though. It's the same when you're stupid. My promotion of a gift economy seems stupid because it doesn't involve the pursuit of money. As a result, I receive gifts, especially when I travel. Books and shirts are among the most popular items I receive, and the latter often contain witty historical expressions. Among my t-shirts is one with a phrase from Benjamin Franklin, quote, "It is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority," unquote. Most people I encounter clearly do not agree, at least in practice. In theory, there is no difference between theory and practice, but in practice, there is. Still, I'm astonished at the prevailing mentality among the American citizenry. Apparently, we are so afraid to question authority, so willing to believe blatant lies, that we're willing to capitulate to liars and thieves dressed as CEOs and politicians. I provide a few links in this essay. Evidence for each of the following claims is abundant and easily obtained. If you're not grasped these tidbits by now, additional evidence will remain unconvincing. I suspect your ignorance is willful, your inability to see a direct result of eyes sealed tightly shut. Most notable is the inability of nearly everybody to pursue radicalism. For starters, most people I've met cannot distinguish between a radical and an extremist, despite the clear difference. If it is unclear, I'm writing what I'm writing to you about, ask yourself this question, quote, "What have I done recently that runs counter to the status quo?" unquote. If you don't have a significant response, you're likely to squirm while reading this essay. Let's see here. Don't want to lose this. Wait a minute. Hold it. Plunging down a rabbit hole, any rabbit hole, apparently makes one likely to pursue radicalism on additional topics. Fortunately for governments, few citizens are willing to look deeply into any topic, no matter how important. The shadows in the cave are far too comfortable to risk facing reality head on. And then there are the strong suggestions of thermodynamics. The laws of thermodynamics. The official story of 9/11 violates the laws of thermodynamics. Yet few people I know are willing to question the official narrative. After all, doing so would adhere to Franklin's maxim, a notion foreign to the typical modern American. The Orwellian absurdity continues with the disparaging term applied to those who question the impossibility or the impossible official narrative as truther. A few additional examples are present below. They provide an opportunity for me to launch a too infrequent rant into the void, ergo my latest attempt to combine reality with its common partner, absurdity. Civilization is not the only way to live. Indeed, humans lived without civilization for more than 2 million years. We've lived within the shackles of civilization for a few thousand years. Civilization clearly is omnicidal. Few notice, few or even few care. Civilization is an expression of patriarchy. The current version of industrial civilization benefits a few men at the expense of every other living being. Most civilized people believe this set of living arrangements is wonderful. If you're reading these words, you benefit from imperialism. American empire is real and it covers the globe. There is no escape. The two dominant political parties in the United States represent twin cheeks of the same ass. If you believe the next person to occupy the Oval Office will improve the situation for the masses, then you do not understand the issue. Elizabeth Warren or any other progressive candidate, contemporary, neoconservative, the next great hope for many forgetful Democrats will prove as disappointing as the current president to those deluded diehard Democrats. The United States is dominated by a corporate government and corporate media. When greed is your only god, sociopaths assume control. We are there, fully embedded with patriarchal fascism. The standard response of my fellow citizens, quote, I want more. I deserve more. Apparently, I occupy the land of me and the home of crave. The big banks have run this country for a very long time. They orchestrated everything from laundering drug money to cracking down on any form of resistance. They've been in charge for a very long time. Few notice and even fewer care. The American system of public education is designed to dumb down the populace. Critical thinking belongs to a bygone era. Nearly every one of the so-called self-proclaimed teachers I know refuses to acknowledge reality on this issue. And most other matters, for that matter, these teachers are paid to think and also to teach others how to think. They have overwhelmingly failed, and they continue to fail. The prison industrial complex, like almost every other aspect of American culture, is designed to enrich the wealthy and enslave the poor. Some people claim the system isn't working. Au contraire, it's working as planned, as indicated by the beneficiaries of the American empire. Monogamy and the marriage industrial complex are parcel of patriarchy. The dominant paradigm is not superior to other ways of living. Deep down inside, you surely understand. We cannot sustain the unsustainable, including civilization, nor should we attempt to do so. Civilization requires tremendous violence. Industrial civilization is the most violent version yet. American exceptionalism is a myth. American military power, largely supported by willfully ignorant taxpayers, is necessary to maintain American lifestyles, including grid-tied electricity, the modern banking system, and all that follows. Abrupt climate change is underway. Global climate change causes suffering and death of humans and other organisms. There is no escape. Net energy decline is underway and soon will contribute to the early death of most humans on Earth. Fossil fuels have peaked and the age of expansion has been replaced with the age of contraction. The age of conquest has nearly reached its overdue end. Collapse of industrial civilization is underway and will complete soon. When collapse is complete, the world's remaining nuclear power plants will melt down catastrophically, thus shortening the lives of many humans and other organisms. There is no escape. The interaction between anthropogenic climate change and the collapse of industrial civilization affects every aspect of human life in the industrialized world. There is no political viable approach to addressing either issue, much less the interaction between them. Many centuries ago, Plato persistently wrote a line that resonates strongly with me, quote, "Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses," unquote. Indeed, we'll disparage them by, paradoxically referring to them as truthers. We will therefore remain in the shadows of our cave of blissful ignorance. Well, that was, let's see, who was that written by? Let me look up here. I guess that was written by the guy that handles this website, who is McPherson. Where did I write that down here? I got it written down someplace. I think it's GuyMcPherson.com. And that's, I believe, McPherson.com. Guy, G-U-Y at the beginning. He's an environmentalist type of guy, but I think he's putting it out pretty straight. Yeah. Well, sometimes I wonder whether they're setting up Mr. Obama, Obamsky, Secret Service agents in trouble for abandoning the White House. President Obama has received more death threats than any president in American history. So you would think that maybe the Secret Service would be there to ensure that he's consistently protected. Unfortunately, this is not the case, as was revealed by a recent investigation. This story might seem harmless on the surface, but it only takes one mistake for everything to come crumbling down. It was slack protection in 63 which led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Secret Service agents tasked with protecting President Obama were taken away from their primary job in 2011 and signed to protect a friend of the agency's director. That's interesting. The Washington Post reports that Operation Moonlight moved agents from the White House to Maryland because the then-director Mark Sullivan was worried about his assistant, who was being harassed by a neighbor. Members of the Prowler team are responsible for patrolling the edges of the White House, but were diverted by Sullivan. Members of that team also monitored the area where Obama enters and exits Marine One, and where people gather to watch the president and his family travel by motorcade. Wow. I don't know. Are they setting him up? Well, I guess as long as he serves the corporations and banking interests as well as he has so far, he's probably all right. But I don't know. Boy, it's really easy to lose your career nowadays. It is funny. New York lawmaker says neighborhood is bad. Quote, because African Americans live there, unquote. I don't think she said that. Nassau County Democrats are calling for the resignation of legislator Ellen Birnbaum, Democrat of Great Neck, New York, after she was caught, making racially inflammatory statements. The New York lawmaker, when speaking about the neighborhood surrounding the Yes We Can Community Center in Newcastle, allegedly said, quote, "This is a bad neighborhood." And that's the reason to fire her? And that is this big racially inflammatory statement? Well, it is a bad neighborhood. It is a bad neighborhood. Dateline, Middleton, Ohio. Police in Middleton, Ohio are trying to determine whether the dispersal of racist flyers had anything to do with a woman's home being set on fire. Flyers distributed by the White Guard, called on whites in the community to join forces against black criminals, according to the Columbus police. Well, anyhow, that could just as well be put out by, those leaflets could have just as well been put out by the FBI as anybody else. They got to keep the pot boiling, you know, but not big time, small time, street level. Well, that New Hampshire police commissioner who called Obama a nigger has resigned. Authorities confirmed on Monday that a New Hampshire police commissioner who stirred controversy by refusing to apologize after he called Obama a nigger. Well, this guy's pretty old. He's just going to retire and say the hell with it. But Obama's still going to be a nigger. I don't know whether they're talking about the new S.H.I.E.L.D. show on TV or not, but this actor, Michael Jace, allegedly shot his wife in front of his children. The Daily Mail is reporting that Michael Jace, an actor in the S.H.I.E.L.D., has allegedly shot his wife, April. The two had been married for 10 years. Police are reporting that the shooting occurred in Los Angeles at the couple's home. They're also reporting that the couple's two children were present in the room when he did it. I assume he is black. Well, probably a lot of you people never heard of this, but there was a book written back in the early 70s by Sam Greenlee. And he was the author of the book Spook Who Sat by the Door. They made a movie out of it, and I remember David Duke talking about it way back there in the mid-70s about he went to a theater down there in Metairie, Louisiana, or New Orleans, and when it showed these blacks killing whites, the blacks went crazy in the theater. They were screaming and standing on their seats and yelling and the whole bit. Well, Sam Greenlee bit the dust. Writer and filmmaker Sam Greenlee, best known for his 1969 novel, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, passed away on Monday. He was 83. The novel tells the story of a CIA agent who uses his training to turn a Chicago street gang into a black guerrilla army. It was made into a film in 73. Watch the above interviews with Greenlee in which he discusses black filmmaking. Okay, let's do that.
And the film was made in 73. And here we are 30 years later. And I think it's every bit as powerful as Martin Wilson when it was when I first did it. Oh, man, it was an adventure. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, a lot of people would have struggled up and blown away. But I'd go home and go to bed and wake up vibrating. Because we never knew on Thursday whether we could meet payroll on Friday. We had to shoot guerrilla style. We
Hold it. We had a little problem there. Let me try that again.
And the film was made in 73. And here we are 30 years later, and I think it's every bit as powerful, if not more so, than it was when I first did it. Oh, man, it was an adventure. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, a lot of people would have shriveled up and blown away. But, man, I was exhilarated. I'd go home and go to bed and wake up vibrating. Because we never knew on Thursday whether we could meet payroll on Friday. We had to shoot it guerrilla style because that was necessary. The shots that we got of Chicago, we stole. We couldn't get the permits from Mayor Daley, the elder. So I said, look, man, we don't need no permits. We take a camera in Chicago. Who's going to come and ask us for some paper? So we went in and we shot one scene on the L platform on 63rd and Cottage Grove, which is in the hood where I grew up and where I still live. How did we shoot it? We paid and went through the turnstile. And then we wanted some shots of the L moving, so we got on the next L that came along and went up to the front and pointed the camera out there and shot that. All the scenes in Chicago were theft. this gorilla sentiment. Now, I don't see any reason why we should do anything else. If we're going to be outsiders, man, take advantage of being outsiders. Okay? If you want to be a rich hoe, then go to Hollywood. If you want to say something true about black people, then do what we did. Raise the money from the black community and shoot what you want. Ivan's attorney, Tom Newsom, was a major. He and his brother, who was a professor at Toledo University, were the major fundraisers. For instance, I never raised a dime out of my hometown, Chicago. And I know some of the richest niggas in Chicago. Wouldn't touch them. You know, some of them I haven't spoken to since then. Tom and Dan, his brother, raised the money. And we put every bit of that money into shooting the film. And we raised about $850,000 from blacks. As I recall, UA put up completion funds, and it was less than $200,000. Black films ought to be about black people. They ought to be, have the same criteria as white films. Financed by, written by, produced by, directed by, distributed by, in theaters that we own if possible. I'm talking about an interdependent economy. I said interdependent because it would be impossible to just pull ourselves out of it. What's that? Self-reliance, yes. Which is what my elders preached to me when I was growing up. Now we're talking about integration. Now it's diversity. And the latest thing is reparations, which ain't nothing but begging for crumbs from the white man's table. And we ought to be about the business of building our own tables and baking our own bread. I want people to think. And out of thought, concern, action. You don't act first and then think. You think first and then act. That's why we were given brains. That's why we don't act instinctively. And when we do, we're wrong. Whichever way they go, I want them to think about what I've had to say. I'm not trying to recruit anybody. I'm not trying to proselytize. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I want to shake up the mind. I want people to look at that movie and go out of there thinking. And I think I've accomplished that purpose. I could sum it up in one word, crossover. Okay? When black artists were more concerned about attracting a white audience and entertaining the black audience, they stopped being entertainers and became hoes. Okay? Billie Holiday, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, they weren't concerned with the color of the audience. They knew who the audience was. If the white folks wanted to come in there and buy their records, they were welcome. But they were not playing for white folks. The Bling Blings are looking for a white audience. Okay? And I feel just like the entertainers and musicians that preceded me. I wouldn't give a damn if nobody white ever read my book. If they do, I want them to pay for it and get my royalties. And if they get something out of it, I say, fine. But my audience is not white. I don't write for black bourgeois intellectuals. I write for the people on the block where I live. Well, man, if you don't belong someplace, get the hell out. There's no excuse now for black people not to be making their own films. With modern technology, you can shoot a film that 10 years ago would have cost $10 million for less than a fraction of that. Now, why do they have to go through all of that pain, man? Are they masochistic or what? Are they hoping that one day they'll make a whole lot of money? You can make a film with shoot it DV, digital, for a fraction of what you would. You can make it. A damn good film for $1 million. In fact, if somebody gave me $1 million, I'd shoot three. If you want to work for white folks, take what they got to give you, put the money in the back, stop whining. And if it's painful, get out. You can't have it both ways. Once upon a time, they used to own slaves. Nowadays, they rent us. You can bake, you can break the lease if you want to. I did. Folks are not going to change. So some of us have to. And I'm sincerely disappointed in you. activity as so-called leaders in our community. I think they've totally lost touch. They spend so much time with white folks trying to convince them to do the right thing that they don't spend enough time on a grassroots level where I live. And they don't know what the people down here are thinking. They don't know what they're feeling. And I'm not at all sure they care. I'm not at all sure they care. I feel a definite sense of elitism today. I don't believe that so-called leaders have any connection with the people, visually, intellectually, or otherwise. In fact, I think they're frightened of us. They are afraid of ordinary grassroots black people. Yet they still pretend to speak for us. And I say us because that's where I am. They ever try to start a movement of the type before, okay, which was a mass movement of grassroots working class black people led by well-educated elite black people. And I make a distinction between elite and elitist. They can't come back anymore and ask the masses to demonstrate as they did before, as they did with King, as they did with Foreman, Huey, and other leaders. That was a grassroots movement, the leadership notwithstanding. I'm going to get the last laugh on all of those people, the whites and the blacks, who tried to break me. I met comrades of mine then who were broken psychologically. Okay? I know one who's a bag lady wandering around talking to herself. I know people who kill themselves. I know others who went crazy. But look at me, man. I'm healthy and happy and having a good time. And if I never made another film, look at the film I made.
Well, I think that was a damn good interview. I think it was with Mr. Greenlee, who wrote that, what's going on here? With Black Mr. Greenlee, who put that film together, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, and it really shook up people, I'll tell you that. I never saw it, but I'm going to see if I can dig it up. But anyhow, he talks straight. I like to listen to a straight-talking black person, just like I like to listen to a straight-talking white person. There are not many of them around. That's it for today, 14-5. We'll be back with you tomorrow on Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. Anyhow, you got your cameras out, you got your recorders out, you got your pencil and your tablet. Start looking around for all this military equipment in your community. Keep track of it. Where's it going? Where's it at? You know, okay.
And it's been the ruin of
One thing more I wanted to tell you. I saw, on the Hulu television setup that's on the Internet, they have a section with historical films. I forgot the name of the section right now, but it's the one that's got all these collections of films. And there's a film on there by Roberto Rossellini, an Italian movie producer. And I believe his daughter was a movie star, Rossellini. And anyhow, the name of the film is Deutschland Jahr Zero. In other words, Germany Year Zero. It's a black and white film. It's shot pretty much like a documentary, only it's an actual film of families subsisting in Berlin just a few weeks after the end of the war. And then made the movie in the ruins of Berlin. If you want to see really how bad it was, dig out that film. It's on Hulu. I've never seen it anyplace else. 14.5.